Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition, I think, of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. For whatever reason, I showed up tonight, but my voice did not. So bear with me and hold me up in prayer, if you would, that I'll be able to speak after talking all day. Excuse me. After talking all day, it just seems like my voice has decided to go on strike. So I don't know, pollen and everything going on in the air, but pray for me. We'll get through the program here tonight. Feel okay. Just don't have any voice this evening, so pray for me to be able to get through everything here this evening. Well, you're listening, as I said, to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. And like I said, I hope you'll be able to stay with us here this evening. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to have you give us a call tonight. Our toll-free number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'll get you on the air here this evening. And, of course, find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. If you'll go there, you can find out more information about me, about the program, and about our church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor. Certainly invite you to come out and visit us there. And you can also see some different things that I've written over the past years, and even a couple of little booklets that are there. And I hope it'll be a blessing to you. You can also listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And assuming that everything is carrying through here, in addition to not having my voice with me tonight, Lauren, who helps me make sure that I'm broadcasting on YouTube, is not here tonight either. And so I'm trying to make sure that that's going at the same time. So hopefully, if you go online at Live with Pastor Al, or at our Facebook page or our USA.life page or our MeWe page, I've got them shared over on there, and you can watch the program live via YouTube, or you can just go to YouTube and look for Live with Pastor Al. Well, quite a variety of areas where you can find us, but all of it is so that hopefully we can be a blessing and we can be an encouragement to you in your walk with Christ. If you're searching and you're looking, and we can be a help and a guide in directing you to Christ as well. All right, well, let's go ahead and open our program this evening with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you so much again for the opportunity to be on the air this evening. Pray that you would bless the program. Help me with my voice to be able to last through the program tonight. And we just pray that you would just use us for your glory here in some way this evening. And we could point people to their searching to Christ, that we can encourage believers in their walk with you. And through it all, we can lift up and glorify our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, again, it's good to be with you tonight. Welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And we're going to get to our callers here in just a little bit. Again, that toll-free number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And I want to point you to our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. I have uploaded on there our program from this past Friday. Not everybody's able to listen to our Friday afternoon program. We're on Fridays at 1:30 from 1:30 until 2 o'clock. This past Friday, I had a special guest, Ian Juby, on the program with me, and we discussed the UFO phenomena in light of the Bible. And let me encourage you to check that out. If you've got questions about that, please go to our website at livewithpastoral.com. You'll find the link there, special program, UFOs and the Bible. In addition to that, it's also got a link to Ian Juby's YouTube account where you can watch a special program that he is doing. He's the host of Genesis Week. It's a series of programs that he's doing in Canada, and it is, some of them air in the States as well, but you can see them online on YouTube, and it's a look at creation, and he's doing a special mini-series as a part of Genesis Week on UFOs, aliens, and the Bible. And he's done 2 episodes so far. He's planning for 4, and the next one should be out in the coming week sometime. So you can find links to that all at our site, livewithpastoral.com. So in addition, there's some other programs on there that I've done in the past. I just happened to think about this. We had a caller that called in some years ago asking about UFOs in the Bible, and if you scroll down on the right-hand side of the webpage there, you'll find some Pastor Al favorites. Listen to a Live with Pastor Al favorite. And underneath that, you'll see the first one's a biblical ghost story, which comes out of Job chapter 4. And then there's the Bible and UFOs part 1 and the Bible and UFOs part 2, where I had a caller that called in and asked about the subject. And so we have that on there as one of our favorites. So check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. All right, well, we're going to get into our program here this evening. Lots happening in the world around us, but we want to hear from you. Our toll-free number, 888-677-9673. And I believe Nancy's our first caller tonight. Nancy, welcome to the program this evening.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al, for taking my call.
All right, good evening.
Thank you. Good evening to you. And I certainly will pray that you can get through the one-hour show with your voice being a little bit weak.
Well, like I said, I don't feel bad. It's just my voice. It's just been, I don't know, a long day, I guess, and the weather and the pollen and everything.
Well, I'm going to give you a little one of the things that I recommend. I used to get bronchitis and voice problems for like decades mm-hmm. until I started taking Bragg's apple cider vinegar, 2 oh. tablespoons twice a day. And I haven't had any problem with my voice or bronchitis for about 3 years since I started that.
Oh, I've been doing Bragg's apple cider vinegar myself for quite some time, but I only do a tablespoon twice a day. So maybe that's my problem.
Well, I take 2 tablespoons.
Yeah, I do 1 tablespoon twice a day.
Well, I would recommend 2 tablespoons. You just mix it with half a cup of liquid. But I used to get bronchitis like 4 to 6 times a year. For decades. And I would always have to get an antibiotic or it would never go away. But when I went under this 2 tablespoons of Bragg's apple cider vinegar twice a day, of course, mm-hmm. you always have to take it in half a cup of liquid. It just disappeared. It's like mm-mm. no one. And plus, I pretty much give up sugary desserts. I know that helps too. But so anyhow, that's my little.
Well, and let me add something, lest people think that we're bragging on Bragg's apple cider. pun intended there.
I've got another brand.
I've tried some other brands, and I usually mix it with water, and I can't hardly drink the other brands. There's just something about it. It's been consistently the best quality, and I've got a Mark's down in Fairlawn, where you can get it really, it's mm-hmm. the cheapest place around to buy it. I mean, I buy the big bottle and it's pretty cheap.
Bragg's apple cider vinegar. I always get it at Mark's because they're only $5 a quart.
Yeah, it's the best price around.
$7 or more a quart. So
yeah.
I buy a lot of it.
So I guess we're going to get our product endorsement check here in the mail, right? Don't hold your breath, right?
I do prefer Bragg's apple cider vinegar. Occasionally I'll get another brand, but that's, you know, the one that I really have the most confidence in. I've heard about the vaccine, how the Cleveland Clinic came out, that if you've had COVID, like I know you and your wife had, that you don't need the vaccine. And yet I've heard doctors like Dr. Siegel on Fox News, somebody, Judge Jeanine asked him last night about, you know, this new revelation from Cleveland Clinic, which we already knew. But
and for our listeners, what you're talking about is the Cleveland Clinic surveyed all of the people who were employed by Cleveland Clinic and all their facilities. So we're talking about thousands of people. Everybody that had COVID, they watched them, and not a single person that had COVID has ever come down with it again. Which of course shows that you have natural immunity once you've had it. Just like I had chicken pox, which presumably you did as well. So I have no need of a chicken pox vaccine, even though they have a chicken pox vaccine. No need to go get it because I had chicken pox, and so now I have antibodies for it.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dr. Siegel, he's supposed to be the doctor on Fox News, which I've seen a lot of things that he said are not really, I don't think, accurate, because this is what he answered Judge Jeanine when she asked him about this new revelation from Cleveland Clinic. He said, well, yes, people that have had the virus, they don't really need the vaccine as much as other people. But he said, after a few weeks, I do recommend that they get just one shot, you know, just for extra immunity. To me, I have heard, I don't know if this is true, and I don't have any way to back it up or proof, that it's actually harmful if you get the vaccine after you've had the virus. Do you know, does that harm you, or it just doesn't benefit you?
Personally, I would certainly say it really, there's really no benefit. It's just like if you or I got a chickenpox vaccine, what benefit would there be to it? We already have immunity from having had chickenpox. I don't know about whether it has the potential to cause any more harm to somebody that's had COVID versus somebody that hasn't. And I would imagine it would depend on the type of the shot or whatever, because like the Johnson & Johnson, for instance, is more like the traditional vaccine than the Moderna and the Pfizer, which is the mRNA one, where they're injecting you with messenger RNA, mRNA, that goes into the ribosomes in your cell and causes the cell to produce spike proteins. And then your body recognizes spike proteins, which are on the surface of the virus, and that's how your immune system recognizes it, by the proteins on the surface. Mm-hmm. And so then that train is supposed to train your immune system. But the Johnson & Johnson, of course, they use I think it's the deadened or weakened COVID virus. And then your body sees that. And, of course, the spike proteins are on the surface of the dead virus. And it recognizes the spike proteins and does the same thing that you would get, you know, from any other vaccine. But I just don't see a benefit. If you've had COVID, there's no reason to get the vaccine, in my opinion, because your body has recognized the spike protein. So what's the purpose of injecting something that makes you produce spike proteins or gives you a dead virus that has spike proteins? There's no purpose in it. And if they try to tell you, well, your immunity isn't good enough, then what good is if you just get the vaccine? Are they going to tell you then, well, you need to get another vaccine, you know, 6 weeks later or something?
Yeah. It's all about the money.
In fact,
I would say all about the Benjamin.
Yeah. Yeah. But I would say, in fact, there's evidence that indicates that having had the COVID-19, your immunity will be stronger than having had the vaccine, any of the vaccines. So, and you know, remember years ago, I remember when my wife and I were in Samoa, they didn't have the chickenpox vaccine at the time, and some kids came down with chickenpox naturally, and a bunch of other parents on the island, they got all their kids together to play with the kids that had chickenpox so that all the kids would get it, and they would build up immunity to it.
Oh!
And, you know, so that's what happens. I mean, your body, you know, learns to recognize the virus and learns to fight it off through your immune system. That's the way God created us. Mm-hmm. So if you've had it, I don't see any need for getting the vaccine. So that then brings up an interesting point. if the medical scientists in the medical community knows this, why are certain people in the medical community saying, oh, no, 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 you need to have the vaccine, even if you've had it?
It's all about money.
Yeah, well, the love of money, the Bible says. Paul wrote to Timothy, remember, the love of money is the root of all evil.
Yep.
And so there's that going on, certainly, I'm sure. But I still maintain that the biggest thing that's going on with these vaccines and everything is it's a dry run. Number one, a dry run, because they are wanting to institute things that are going to get us ready to fall in line with a global new world order and accept the dictates of the global government and line up behind the rule of the Antichrist. And so what better way to condition people? And a lot of people are conditioned. Government says it, you have to do it. There's pastors who are actually, I've heard reports of pastors who are actually saying, well, if the government tells you to do it, it doesn't matter what the Bible says. We're called to obey man rather than God. And that's completely wrong. Remember, Peter said to the... Romans 13, but we follow the government insofar as it's in obedience with God. But when the government goes contrary to the word of God, that's when we do what Peter said. We ought to follow God rather than men. Because remember, he was ordered by the political leaders of his day to do things contrary to what Jesus had said. They forbade him from preaching in the name of Jesus. And he said, I'm sorry, we ought to follow God rather than men. I wish all of our pastors today believe that. But unfortunately, not all of them do. I've actually heard of pastors that have said, you know, if the government decides to confiscate your guns, you are morally bound to agree with them and not resist. Now, that's wrong. We have a Second Amendment that says they can't do that. See,
we protect ourselves against the government.
Yeah.
That's why we have
Well, and that is part of the reason. That's one of the reasons we're free today. You know, other countries have looked at us being armed and been, it's just dissuaded them from trying anything. But let me get to another point, too. Here's something else that's happened. Here's something else that's happened in the past year. I use this example to some people a couple of times. And in Turkey, Erdogan has taken Turkey from a secular country. It was a secular, it's Islamic, the people are Muslim. But he's taken it from a secular country to a more Islamic-oriented country. And a number of people were resistant. And a few years ago, there was a major coup that attempted to unseat Erdogan and restore Turkey to a secular-style government. Well, it turned out after the coup was put down and the leaders and sympathizers were arrested and jailed and many of them disappeared, it turned out that it appears that Erdogan was behind the coup. So why would he stage a coup against himself? Well, it was to draw out his enemies. Excuse me just a minute. It was to draw out his enemies. Well, what has happened in the last year and several odd months, a year and a half? The people who have been most vocal against wearing the face mask, the people who have been most vocal against the lockdowns, the people who have been the most vocal against getting the vaccines, don't you think those are the ones who are also the most vocal against the New World Order, the global government?
Oh, absolutely.
And guess what they've succeeded in doing? They've identified us.
Oh, yes.
Anybody that's in a church that refused to shut down when they were ordered to, somebody out there's taken note of that. People that are on the, you know, can't imagine anybody that we might know that's on the radio talking against face masks and shutdowns and vaccines, but they've taken note. And they see the people that are causing these problems. Now, we understand, of course, from Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that the mystery of iniquity is already working in the world. So the devil is trying to get things lined up. He believes that his time is rapidly approaching when he's going to bring the Antichrist onto the world scene, and they're going to have a world government, a world religion, a world economic system. And all these things are being orchestrated behind the scenes, and a lot of people are over here worrying about vaccines and face masks when the global economic system is being revised and changed, and a lot of people don't even see it happening. And also other things are taking place. You know, it's, in a sense, it's almost like, you know, the matador has the red flag that attract, or red cape or whatever blanket that attracts the bull.
Mm-hmm.
While he's doing other things, he distracts the bull. And I'm not saying there's nothing to be concerned about with the virus and forced vaccines and things like that. But what I'm saying is, if I were the global elite and I wanted to identify the people most resistant to me, could I have cooked up a better way?
Nothing. Perfect.
And so, but we, of course, know that one day we're going to hear that trumpet sound. And if we know Christ is our Savior, the Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which remain shall be caught up to meet him in the air.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So we're looking forward to that. But at the same time, you know, we're called to be salt and light. We want to make a difference. But I really do believe that part of what we've been going through the last year and a half, they've been using this to identify the people who are going to be most resistant. So,
well, I'm one of them. I'm sure they know, you know.
Oh, yeah.
One of them, because I do put things on Facebook. And
yeah.
Now, did you hear Sherry Tenpenny went before the Ohio House?
I did see some of her testimony.
248. Now, I think some of the things she says are believable, but then the thing is, how do we know when she says 14 weeks or 48 weeks or 42 weeks that you could get heart disease or autoimmune disease, because the virus hasn't been around that long? So how does she know? I mean, I do think that she's very knowledgeable, and she studied viruses.
Yeah, and
for 21 years. But the thing is, how does she know that these things are going to happen in the future when the virus is so new? That's what I'm concerned about.
Well, there's several things. You have to make guesses because it is new, and something a lot of people don't realize. There's a code in the virus, in the virus's RNA, because I believe it's an RNA virus, not a DNA virus. DNA and RNA are both genetic material. DNA is the double-stranded helix, the double helix. RNA is only one strand, so it's like a spiral, just a spiral as opposed to two spirals intertwined. And it's what happens inside of your cells. There's an enzyme that zips open your DNA molecule, and then another. It's amazing how God's worked this out, but it's read, and a copy is made, and that copy is a single strand, which is RNA, and it's usually a tRNA, which is a transfer RNA, and it leaves a cell nucleus. It goes to the ribosome, and then it's read in the ribosome, and it assembles amino acids to form a protein, and then they get folded in just the right way, because it could be folded in any number of ways, and then that produces the proteins that are necessary for the cellular functions, whatever needs to be done. But when we look at the genetic code, the RNA in the coronavirus, the novel coronavirus, it's long name is, we find a interesting repeated pattern. I believe it's, and these stand for the base units that's in the molecule. They're like letters, and it's, the code is, I believe, CCG and then CCG again. And from my reading of this,
Are you talking about the virus or the vaccine?
This is in the virus. This is in the virus. This code is not found naturally anywhere. We're not saying that it doesn't exist in nature, but nobody knows of it existing anywhere in nature. This is the signature that this virus has been manipulated by man. This is a manipulated virus, and this CCG repetition, it really augments the virus. It makes it more resistant to other things that might, like your immune system and all that. It makes it more easily transmitted. It just kind of soups it up. That's a good way. It augments it. It soups it up. Makes it a little more virulent, a little stronger, a little more active than it would normally be. And they've done this with other viruses. So this is an evidence that somebody did this. Now, we know about
bioweapon to sort of
right
people.
And that's where you would expect it, because the Wuhan Institute of Virology, where it was developed, and isn't it interesting? We were talking about this a year ago. President Trump was talking about this a year ago, actually almost a year and a half ago, and everybody was saying, "Oh, that's ridiculous. Everybody knows that didn't happen. That's just a lie. There's no basis in fact. You know, show us the evidence." He said, "I can't. It's classified." Well, it's come out now. Some of the classified reports have been declassified, and they're admitting that what President Trump said was true. Well, what I was going to say is that they've studied the coronaviruses. It's a family of viruses, just like the influenza viruses. And so when you make a statement that something's going to happen in a year and a half, 2 years, 4 years, whatever, you're extrapolating on what we know from other coronaviruses that we have studied for years, like SARS and MERS and things like that, and there's others. Also, we speculate about some things from what we've seen happen in animals or other tests where perhaps, you know, because of the generations of animals, it's faster and things. But there's just ways. I'm trying to simplify, and I'm by no means a virologist myself. But what I'm getting at is you can make educated guesses, but the truth of the matter is we really don't know, because it's not been around long enough. It's only been around that we know of since about November of 2019 or October of 2019. But the Chinese were studying it. The Chinese were modifying it and manipulating it. And they were planning. That's why that one Chinese virologist who mysteriously wound up dead shortly after, back in February of last year, was already getting a patent for a vaccine. Which makes sense, because if you're developing a bioweapon and you want to unleash it on your enemy, you don't want to kill your own soldiers and your own people, so you want a vaccine to protect them. So,
developing a vaccine.
Yeah, so they were already developing the vaccine. And then, of course, we know now from the Fauci emails that the illustrious Dr. Fauci many times has been lying through his teeth to us, and it was through his institute that U.S. taxpayer dollars were being funneled to the Communist Chinese Party's People's Liberation Army's Institute of Virology in Wuhan, China, to help develop this very virus. Isn't that interesting?
Oh, yeah. Well, he's benefited. I understand he's a millionaire, and he's invested heavily in the vaccines.
Yes. So, well, he's...
talk about his $471,000 salary. That's nothing compared to the millions and probably billions he and Bill Gates.
My suspicion is he's a globalist, and I still maintain the biggest impediment from the secular standpoint to the global world order is the United States. It has to be brought down to where it's no greater than any other nation. And
With Biden in control and saying that global warming is our biggest threat.
That and white supremacism.
He's right in lockstep with the New World Order.
Oh, yeah, absolutely is. He's dismantling our energy independence and favoring that of Russia and Iran. He's dismantling our ability to become one of the world leaders once again in rare earth metals and unfairly benefiting China, you know, the same place that spent millions on his son. Hey, thanks for calling, and we're out of time on this segment, so stay tuned. We've got another half hour to go.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. Toll free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And, of course, you can find out more about us, listen to past programs, number of resources. If you'll go to our web page at livewithpastoral.com, that's livewithpastoral.com. And you can also find, I have uploaded there, had some people asking about it. I have already uploaded our program from this past Friday with Ian Juby, where we were talking about the Bible and UFOs, and we're examining the UFO phenomena from the Bible, and you can find a link to that on our page, livewithpastoral.com. You can also find a link to Ian Juby's YouTube page, where you can watch his four-part mini-series that he's doing along with his overall series that he's working on called Genesis Week. He's doing a four-part mini-series that's a part of that on UFOs, aliens, and the Bible. And you can find all that if you go to our page at livewithpastoral.com. All right, well, we're going to get back into our callers here. And again, just a reminder, we're brought to you tonight by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, where I'm the pastor. And because you can link to all that from our webpage, livewithpastoral.com. We're also brought to you by the East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. You can find East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can call them at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. Let them know you heard about them here on Live with Pastor Al. Late Night Live with Pastor Al. That's East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And call them at 216-341-9100. Well, we're going to get back to our program. And we have got Terry, who's been waiting the longest. Terry, welcome to the program tonight.
Good evening, Pastor.
Hi, good evening. Welcome.
Thank you. One thing I was going to mention last week, I was mentioning about prescriptive, descriptive.
Uh-huh.
And I kind of read it wrong. I didn't read it wrong, but it's not what I wanted to read. It means that a descriptive dictionary is one that attempts to describe how a word is used.
Right.
Well, a prescriptive dictionary is one that describes how a word should be used. So that's the difference between prescriptive and descriptive.
So, okay, the first one being, go over that again.
Oh, the first one is the descriptive, is how a word is used.
Uh-huh.
Well, a prescriptive dictionary is one that describes how a word should be used.
Okay, so just a slight difference there, how it is used versus how it should be used.
Right, like medication, if the doctor gives you a prescription.
That makes sense. It's an easy way to remember it.
Yeah.
You're supposed to use it the way he told you to use it.
And that's the way the Lord wants us to use the word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a proper way of using it, and there's an improper way of using it.
Right.
Like for instance, chapter 3 of Hebrews, chapter 3, verse 12.
It's Hebrews chapter 3, I'm sorry.
Verse 12?
That's the part I didn't catch, was the verse 12. I was picking up my Bible, and when you said 12, it sounded like you said Paul there for a minute.
Well, it was Paul the wrote.
Right. That's why my mind, because I was making some noise here in the studio when I turned and grabbed my Bible, and it distorted what I heard you say when you said 12. So that's Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12, where he says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God."
Right. And a lot of people have used this scripture to prove that you can lose your salvation. I don't believe that's what that's saying.
No, I would agree with you there. Because when we put it into the context here, he's talking. Let's see. Let me go back up a little bit further here. He was talking about the high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, at the beginning. But let's go a little further down where he says in verse 7, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of the temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. There, wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, They do always err in their heart. They have not known my ways. And so I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest." And then he says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be any in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." And what happened in the 40 years that the Israelites wandered in the wilderness, they never ceased to be God's people, right? They were always God's people, but they lost the opportunity. That whole generation lost the opportunity to go into the promised land. And in reality, we often talk about the promised land as a picture of heaven, but really the promised land is more properly a picture of the victorious Christian life. Because when they went in the promised land, they had battles. They had to do things. And
they didn't need to have, well, at first, yeah, they had battles, but then they could have won all the battles and lived there.
But then, of course, they got at ease in Zion, and they drifted away from God. And then they had opposition that rose up and oppressors and things like that. But so what he's talking about here, when he uses the example of the Israelites, these people never ceased to be God's people. What they lost was the blessing of God that would have allowed them to enter into the promised land. That's what they lost. And so then on the heels of that, Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. See, they departed from trusting and believing that God would fulfill his promises, that God would protect them and watch over them as they went into the land, that God would help them defeat their enemies in the land. And when we look at the word evil, we tend to think of something nasty, something vile, something despicable, and it can be that. But evil oftentimes means the absence of good, just like cold is the absence of heat. You know, we think of cold as the opposite of heat, but it's really the absence of heat. And darkness is the absence of light. You know, when I get done here and we close the studio and we turn off the lights, we don't send out dark rays, you know. We don't make it dark. We cease sending out light rays. You know, we cease sending out light because we turn off the lights. And so it becomes dark because there's no light. Well, evil's the absence of good. And, you know, when you don't trust God, that's not good. That's evil. And the Israelites did something that was not good. Here's another way to explain it. Remember when Jesus said if a man doesn't, you know, hate his father and his mother? And people say, "Was that? What does that mean? We gotta hate our fathers and our mothers?"
No.
But what exactly. See, hate is the absence of love. And so what he was talking about there is we shouldn't love them as much as we love God. We should love God more than them. Just like right now in this room right here where I'm sitting, it's bright because the lights are on. If I went outside of the building, it would be dark because there's no lights out there. But if I went into the next room over where the lights are out, but light is spilling out of the window from this room, I would say it's dark compared to this room, but it's actually quite light compared to the room outside, or to the parking lot outside, I should say. You see what I'm saying? So
yeah.
Even though
the
I would...
The illumination of the Holy Spirit.
Exactly. So
that's what happened with the Israelites.
Right. And so in that case with loving God versus hating mother and father, he's saying you would have less love for your mother and father than you do for God. Just like that room next to me through the window is less light than it is in here. So I would say, I look over there, that room's dark. But if I look out the window into the parking lot, well, it's real dark out there because there's no lights out there in the parking lot. So out there, if I was in the room over there, I'd say it's light, but not as light as in here. So it's dark compared to this room. But outside's dark.
If we have darkness in us, how great is that darkness?
Right. So we come back here to the Israelites. This generation, because they rejected God's promise and God's offer of the land, and they were unwilling to follow God's direction to go into the land, and they talked about, let's just go back to Egypt. Well, they didn't do good, and so by definition, what they did, that was an evil heart of unbelief. Right. They didn't believe God would... I mean, God had been taking care of them, delivered them from Egypt, delivered them from Pharaoh's army, brought them through the Red Sea, all of that, and now they refuse to believe him. And so an evil heart of I'm sorry?
They had it better off. They say they had it better off in Egypt.
Right. So that's an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. This has nothing to do with losing your salvation. Now, people who take a verse out of context, I can see where they make it that way, but when you put it in context, it's in the context of don't be like the Israelites were, who had an evil heart of unbelief. They departed from the living God. Rather than trust the living God, they wanted to return back to the dead religion and things of Egypt. And so then he says in verse 13, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So we exhort one another so that we watch out for each other, so that sin doesn't get a foothold in our life and we start to disbelieve God. Because
you have to read the whole context.
Right, exactly.
You got to read the whole Yeah. Like I read this whole chapter over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And what it's saying.
And then look a little further down in verse 14 and 15. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end, while it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. And then again he brings up the Israelites. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, albeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. So, again, they're bringing it back into the context of learning from the nation of Israel. They provoked God. They allowed an evil heart of unbelief to enter in, but they never ceased to be God's people. That's the thing.
They still belong to God.
Exactly. Even though they rejected the Messiah, they're still his people.
Yeah, because I just got finished studying, and I read this a few times tonight, too. I read the chapter, Zechariah, chapter 14.
Uh-huh.
And God is not, he's not done with them.
Right.
He's coming back.
Yeah. In fact... I was just reading down through the end of the chapter here, and look at what he says at the end of the chapter. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Obviously, it's the Israelites he's talking about. Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. And we're not talking about salvation. They could not receive the promises of God because they just didn't believe him. And I think we could apply this to Christians today. If we refuse to believe God when God challenges us to do something and tells us that he'll provide for what we need to do it, and we say, no, I don't believe you, well, we're certainly not going to receive the blessings that he has for us. Why? Because of a heart of unbelief.
Right, and that doesn't mean that we're going to lose our salvation, but we just lose peace.
We lose blessings. We lose reward. We lose peace, like you said. Exactly.
Right.
So, really, this is a very interesting chapter.
Yes, I encourage people to read the whole chapter over and over again to understand its context. So.
Absolutely correct. Yeah, context is everything. Like they say in real estate, you know, location, location, location. Somebody said a text out of context becomes a pretext. So,
Zechariah chapter 14?
Yeah, Zechariah chapter 14. I'm just watching the clock here. It looks like I got a couple more people calling here.
It's an interesting chapter, too, about the end times. The Lord's going to return. Like, that's a.
Oh yeah,
and people say like the reformers. They say that the Lord's done with the Jews, but he's not according to the chapter.
In fact, this corresponds Zechariah chapter 14 corresponds very closely to some of the events of Revelation chapter 19. But it's very interesting too, not just in this chapter, but also the previous chapter, and when you're talking about whether or not God is finished with Israel, look what he says at the end, toward the end of chapter 13, where he says, in verse number 7, awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts, smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn my hand upon the little ones, and it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third part shall be left therein, and I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people. They shall say, the Lord is my God. And these are the people that he's talking about that are in chapter 12, where he talks about in verse 8, in that day the Lord shall defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. I don't have time to get into all that, but if you read chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 14 together, it's very clear that God has a plan for Israel in the future, doesn't he?
Yeah, I love it. I love all that.
Yeah, it's a great chapter. I really enjoyed when I preached through Zechariah at our church. It's just, there's these last several chapters in Zechariah are absolutely amazing. They're riveting when you read them. Well, Terry, I got a couple other people waiting on the line. And I'm going to have to get to them before we run out of time, but I appreciate the call tonight, and you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We've got a couple people online. We've got Mary Grace first, and Mary Grace, welcome to the program tonight.
Oh, God bless you, Pastor Al.
Thank you.
You're really marvelous, and I'm praying for you all.
All right, appreciate it. People must be praying for me. I'm lasting through the night with my voice. I'm glad of that.
You're doing fine. I only have two things to tell you.
Yes, ma'am.
And two websites, StopWorldControl.com and AmericanProphecy.com.
All right. Well, I appreciate that.
Take the other one. God bless you.
All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Thank you. And again, appreciate people praying. I mean, I do feel my voice is stronger than when I started here this evening. Craig, our producer, when I first came in, said hello. I could hardly get it out, but so limbered up a little bit as we were talking, but I'm sure that prayers are helping. We've got Timothy calling in tonight. Timothy, welcome to the program this evening.
Good evening, Pastor Al.
Good evening. Welcome.
I'm a longtime listener of 1220.
Wow.
I appreciate everyone that's on there, and I pray a blessing and a hedge of protection around all of our spiritual leaders.
I appreciate that.
God continues to watch over them and protect them and to guide them and keep them in good health and in good spirit. I think it was very pivotal today. I've been watching what's been going on with Israel. I listened to your previous comments. I think that nothing surprises our Jehovah.
Right.
And he knew the end before the beginning, that this is all prophetic design, and that we just need to stand behind, like we stood behind Trump when all that was going on. Basically, if you look at from 1987 all the way up to 2015, on the metamorphosis of Donald J. Trump, and the fact that he changed parties and all of his comments. I went back and revisited all the videos I could find, all the articles I could find. God is doing a new thing in him.
And yes.
Even during this sit-down time that the enemy thinks he's sitting down and doing nothing, God is preparing him for the new Cyrus to rise. And I believe that there's a day coming where he's going to finish what he started in him, and those that stand behind him. There's a lot of people that bailed that weren't true Trump supporters. Only the true patriots, the true Christians, and the true Trump supporters see it for what it was and know that it was not an anomaly. It was, I believe it was prophetic, divine intervention that allowed that to happen at the time for that season. And I believe there's another season coming. He's also allowing what's going on presently to happen for His glory and His purposes. We won't know on this side of heaven all of what's behind all the purposes, but I do believe and trust in Jehovah that He is the protector and the provider and the healer and all of the other names that Jehovah has and is and does, and His sovereignty and providence does speak for itself. What's going on in this country we need to pray for, and what's going on in Israel we need to pray for.
Right. And
His will be done, and He will have the last word. And I believe that in Ephesians 6 it's clear, and I believe in Psalm 75 it's clear.
Mm-hmm. And I wanted to mention something, too, and you brought up Israel, something that was good to read. The Jerusalem Post is reporting that Naftali Bennett, who was Minister of Defense, that's what I'm trying to say, and considered by many to have been one of the better ones. He has been sworn in as Israel's latest prime minister, replacing Benjamin Netanyahu.
The article earlier tonight before the show started at 11.
Yeah.
I was reading online because I know that he lost by only one vote. The vote was 59.
Yeah.
And Netanyahu, it's eerily familiar. His response to what's taken place sounded similar to what Trump had said when what took place with Biden winning over Trump, that Netanyahu vowed to remain in politics, which Trump said he would do, and he said he wasn't going to go anywhere. He was going to still be around. And I believe that Netanyahu's going to still be around. And I think that the relationship that Netanyahu had with Trump was outstanding. And we were going in the right place in the Middle East. And the Lord says And in God's word, it says, you are a friend of Israel. God will, if you bless Israel, then God will bless you.
Exactly.
If you curse Israel, God curses you.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that as long as you stand with the Jewish people, and the Messianic Jews, we know are going to be with the Lord someday. We have to continue
right.
to pray for those that are not Messianic Jews, that they repent of their denial of Christ, and that they come into the fold, and that anybody else that is in denial of Christ better come into the fold, or they're going to perish.
Well, and you know, when we think about it, if we're as close to the rapture as would seem, many of the Jewish people that we have the opportunity to interact with today, we could be sowing the seeds that'll be reaped during the tribulation period when numbers of the Jewish people come to Christ and recognize him as their Messiah. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12, verse 26, where he said, "And so all Israel shall be saved." And he's talking about them coming to Christ. And our previous caller, when I was talking, we were talking about there in Zechariah, I believe it's in chapter 12 or thereabouts, where it talks about they look on him whom they've pierced and mourn.
We need to be Romans 12 Christians. We need to put the armor of God.
Absolutely. Hey, I hear the music coming. Timothy, thank you for the good call tonight. Hope you call back in the future.
And bless you, and have a great week.
Thank you so much. You too. And again, I want to appreciate or thank everybody. Appreciate you praying for us tonight. And again, thank you for listening to us. Check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Been promoting the program from last Friday, looking at the Bible and the UFO phenomena. Doing that for a reason. We're going to be revisiting that in the future and possibly talk about a little more on the evening thing. The devil is trying to deceive people. We need to be forewarned. Thanks for listening. God bless. Have a great week.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com.